exactly do we mean by that? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. The Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. Having a wonderful time, really bringing you some interesting guests over the past several weeks, and today is no different. We're going to be talking to author Alan T. Black and about his book, In the Spirit Intended. What really struck me about this book was really the title, because when we say these words, different things come to mind. And I wanted to see, what did he quite mean by in the spirit intended? And as I read through his book, which reads as sort of a commentary and a devotional at the same time, I truly understood what he meant in the spirit intended. But he's going to go deeper into this book, so I want you to make sure that you join us in for the conversation. You can also get a copy of In the Spirit Intended online by going to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you want to weigh in, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air. As always, I want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for being with us and helping us spread the word about the gospel. If you want to know more about them, simply go to christianbookclub.com. Also, Christian authors who are looking to have their books on more apps, but particularly for an app geared toward Christian books, you definitely want to go to readio.com, and you can upload your books to the Readio app. Simply download the Readio app on the Google Play Store and get it today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Alan T. Black. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope. Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome back to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. so glad you are able to join me today for this show. We are talking to author Alan T. Black about his book, In the Spirit Intended. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of this book today. What's really unique about this book is that it reads as sort of a devotional plus a commentary, but not a heavy Matthew Henry commentary, just a casual, very short and succinct commentary on many things that come to mind. And In the Spirit Intended is for that person who wants a quick read, but they also want to have depth to understanding certain biblical principles and concepts and about Christian living. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy, In the Spirit Intended, by going to Amazon.com. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Alan T. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Ms. Cole. Thank you very much. I'm very honored and very excited to be with you this afternoon.
And the honor is all mine because you could have been doing anything else today, but you decided to be with me today. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you.
One of the things that happens is when I read a book, Alan, I'm not always sure what I'm going to get into, because sometimes there are people out there who present the Word of God heretically. And so I was wondering, okay, is this guy's book going to be good enough? You know, like, is it going to be true Christian living principles, or is he going to make something up? And I was so happy to know that any caution I had was completely thrown out the window. Your biblical text is solid. A lot of the concepts in here are very solid for the Christian living, but along with that, you also added some new dimensions to some very well-loved concepts and passages, which I really appreciated. So I can't wait to delve down into this book and let our listeners know more about it. But before I do that, I definitely want people to know who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Well, Alan T. Black is, by my definition, Ms. Cole, to be totally honest with you, a very ordinary guy, just a plain simple guy. And I'm that guy who looks in the mirror and I just see a regular person. I've always kind of lived my life in that particular perspective. Now, how others have viewed me or how they receive me, I kind of feel like, well, whatever I project, that's what the Lord has me to do. So I've always, from the time I was a kid, just tried to be an ordinary person. And in terms of this journey to become a writer, I can definitely testify to the fact that as it relates to my writing career, I started on one path, which I'm still kind of on in a lesser dimension, and that's as a song lyricist. That was really my original foray into being a writer, which began back in 1975 when I was in college. So for your listeners, they're going to figure out, ooh, that dude is old. Yeah, I'm old. I'm 65, okay? But I'm blessed to be here and be at this age of 65. So that's really where my writing career began. I grew up with a huge appreciation for music. But, Ms. Cole, more than anything else with the music, for me, it's always been about the lyrics and the storytelling. And so from the time I was a child, I would just sit and just listen to the words and the story and the music. And by the time I got to college, I kind of had made up my mind, I really want to give this a try, to do lyrics for songs and everything. And so kind of got started really informally in college and just kind of continued from 75 even up through the present day. So I've done things lyrically as far as music is concerned, in a multitude of different genres, where I've had songs that I've collaborated on with musicians or singers that have gotten local play here in the state of Nebraska, across the country, and through the years of 75 in at least, I'm going to say, Ms. Cole, about 55 countries around the world. So I've been very blessed to really pursue what has been my real, real passion. And that has been music and creating things lyrically with someone to collaborate with. But what happened in the summer of probably 2015, I had retired from my job at the university. I worked as a counselor and a recruiter and also worked in the area of retention for the teacher's college here at my local university. That was my career. So when I retired back in 2011 or so, just to stay active, I decided, well, I need to do something part-time and just keep myself kind of busy and everything, because I'm not that person who would retire and then just kind of sit down, excuse me, and just do nothing day after day, because I don't think that's very healthy for anybody. You have to be mentally challenged and mentally stimulated, I think, on a daily basis,
right,
to really continue to fulfill your potential. Well, from the period of about 2012 up through early 2015, I was still doing things lyrically in terms of music. But what began to happen, excuse me, again in the summer of 2015, the Lord began to steer me away from the music, and he had me to start writing what you have in your hands now, these kind of short devotional essays. And I can clearly remember when I first started writing, I was just kind of passing the time of day, because the part-time job where I'm at, I would work in the morning from like 6 to about 12, 6 to 11, somewhere in there. So essentially, from 6 in the morning to about 8, it's just pretty slow. There wasn't really anything to do. So I've never been that guy who would go online and just play games or anything or do stuff like that on my phone. It just never did it for me. So I guess
no Candy Crush for you, I think it then, right?
No, I don't even know what Candy Crush is. Okay. My kids are talking about Candy Crush. I'm like, well, we're going to the store, and look at me like, no, that's not what we mean. Okay. And they know I'm on a 3 second delay. They know that. They're used to it. So I mean, look, I don't even know what Candy Crush is. And they're talking about what's the stuff, the PlayStations, and I got a blank look on my face not talking about it. So let's not even go down that road. I don't even know what that means. Okay. So
mm-hmm,
Netflix
mm-hmm.
and I'm old. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. So but
mm-hmm.
So in 2015, Ms. Cole, I really just started kind of dabbling. And the Lord had me to start writing these short devotional essays, which in a lot of respects are really just a reflections and observations and things I've experienced throughout the course of my life in 65 years. But the thing that was so amazing about it was the fact that in terms of being an author, being a Christian author, there was never one second, not one second, where I had the intention or the dream to be a Christian author. Never entered my mind, period. And so with the first book, Here I Am, Lord, I kind of started writing some material. Let me take that back. The Holy Spirit was directing me to write the material in there. And I'll never forget, after the first couple of essays that I wrote in my first book, it kind of scared me, because I wasn't used to writing in this particular capacity. And so it got even scarier, because I would finish up like one essay, and then I would maybe take a break and come back maybe 10 minutes later. And Ms. Cole, I promise you, I could not remember what I wrote during that time before when I was writing. And that literally scared me. I got to thinking, okay, Alan, are you losing your mind? Going on, this is not me at all. And so it bothered me to the point that I had to go and talk to a pastor of mine who's been like a mentor to me for years. And I said, okay, bro, what's going on here? I let him read a couple of the first essays I wrote. And he said, well, this is good. It's very down to earth. It's very practical. And he said, well, where is this coming from? And I was asking him, well, you need to tell me that, because I don't know what's happening. And so I said, well, I'm just trying to write and just do what the Lord's telling me to do. And I kind of had this same tone, because this is a whole new experience for me, Ms. Cole. And so he said, well, the main thing to keep in mind is that if you are being obedient to what the Spirit is telling you to do, what God's telling you to do, then all you need to do is just be obedient and just follow in the steps he's leading you in. And so that really became the process of me continuing down the road to be a Christian author. And I remember getting to the end of 2015, and I had a conversation probably in about November of 2015 with a former student. I was her mentor while she was in undergraduate school. So I shared a couple of the devotional essays with her, and she was really excited. She says, well, I really like this, so how come you can't write for a blog? And so I looked there and I said, well, people who write for blogs are like writers. And so she said, well, what do you think this is? And I didn't have an answer. And then she said, well, you always taught me when I was in school that if I have a passion and a dream that I have to pursue it to the very end. So how come you can't do the same thing? So now I'm looking at Ms. Cole and I'm like, okay, first of all, I had an attitude because I'm the mentor and she's a protege, but now she's flipping it back on me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I was offended. And I had an attitude mm-hmm. for about 10 seconds. And then the Holy Spirit told me, why are you tripping? Telling you what you've taught her. You can't, you have to follow the same rule.
Right.
And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, you're right. I don't have any reason why I can't try. So around November, after we had this conversation, I reached out to some Christian blogs through the internet and submitted like one or two of the essays. And I think of the 10 websites that I found, all 10 rejected me. And I said, okay, well, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And I found one last one called Christian Blessings, which is over in Singapore. So mm-hmm. I sent my essay to them, and I thought, okay, this is going to be like the other 10. She's going to tell me no, and then I'll just close the door on this. And then Ms. Cole, lo and behold, the editor emailed me back the next day and said, hey, I like this style. I like how it's laid out. So I want to invite you to write for my blog here in Singapore. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, so what does this mean? So then we kind of conversated back and forth, and she said, well, I want you to write for me every week. And I was like, okay, whoa, time out. Wait.
Mm-hmm,
I've never
mm-hmm.
done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. Why don't we just do once a month? And she said, okay, that's fine. She said, now, January 2016 represents the beginning of a new year. So your challenge is I want you to write a devotion, and I want it to be based around the theme of beginning a brand new year, and it has to be at least 300 words. So I'm reading this in the email, Ms. Cole, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I mean, 300 words to me might as well have been 10,000. Because I'm thinking there is no way in the world I can come up with 300 words and tie it around the theme of the beginning of the new year. So mm-hmm. I was stressing myself out leading up through about the middle of December. And this is how great God is. He will position you in a manner where something gets your attention and the light comes on. And then you say, oh, I get it. At least that's how it works for me. I was driving back home from work one afternoon. It was about December 20th, 2015. I'll never forget. And they were playing like this Christmas, New Year's Eve type music. And they were playing that song, Auld Lang Syne. And okay. part of the lyrics in there talks about, will old acquaintances be forgot? And mm-hmm. that stuck out in my mind. And I built my first post for Christian Blessings around old acquaintances. And thematically, what that was about is the fact that, and that's in my first book, Here I Am, Lord, that's about that as we begin a new year, what are some of the old acquaintances that we want to say goodbye to? Is it like, say, worry? Is it fear? Well, we all know that in January of every year, gym memberships go up through the roof.
Yep.
And then by February, it's a ghost town, okay? But is your old acquaintance that lack of commitment? Is your old acquaintance, say, procrastination? What are you going to do as you head into a new year or even a new day to make that declarative statement that I'm going to get rid of this old acquaintance and I'm going to become a better person each and every day? So that was my first posting for Christian Blessings in January of 2016. And I'm now at the point where here we are in August 2020, I've been writing for them going on 5 years, at least once a month. And it's been an amazing journey because, again, I'm a regular person. I was a college graduate with a 2.6 GPA, so barely a C-plus person. Here I am posting for our blog in Singapore, way out the other side of the world. And I sat back, and I still sit back at times, and I think, you know, God, this is just so unreal. How's an ordinary guy like me, how do you lead me into this position to write for a blog on the other side of the world? And so I continued to write. I continued to compile material. And then my same student who I had the conversation with that I shared earlier, she then said, well, okay, so you've got all these essays. Why don't you write a book now? And I looked at it and I thought, well, okay, think I can write a book. And so I began to compile more material. And then by the end of 2016, Ms. Cole, I had enough. I had the 35 in there, like I have 35 essays in my second book. And so by the end of 2016, now going into January 2017, I said, well, I'm going to try to put these in a book. Now, I had no idea how to format a book. I didn't know where to look. I was just clueless, but I just knew the Lord had placed on my heart to pursue this and see about getting my material for the first book published. And I wound up one night, I was kind of in a website called Fiverr.com, if you've heard of it or if your listeners have heard of it. So I went into Fiverr.
Yeah, Fiverr is very popular.
It is. And I went in there and I said, okay, I had joined. And so I put out a request. I said, well, I'm trying to write this book, and I'm just wondering, is there somebody who could help me to like edit the book and format it? And if so, please message me back. I'll never forget, it was on a Friday night toward the end of January 2017. And so I'm thinking, I put out that request. I said, well, maybe about 7 or 8 months, maybe by the end of 2017, I'll get one or two responses. And so that was my mindset at that point. Again, I'm thinking in the natural, not recognizing that if God calls you into a certain arena, he's going to prepare to take you to the next level. And so the next day was a Saturday morning. Went out. I did what most of us do errand and things like that. Came back home that Saturday afternoon. I said, well, let me check my Fiverr account just in case somebody responded. Opened my Fiverr account, Ms. Cole, and there was 35 people that said they want to work with me. That scared me to death. I'm thinking, how am I going to filter through 35 people? I have no idea what this means or how this works. So I spent 2 more weeks after that, and I settled on a lady who is in South Africa. And so she and I corresponded in terms of her setting up my first book, the formatting, the editing and everything for Amazon. And so by May, I think it was May of 2017, I released my first book called Here I Am, Lord. And I'll never forget, Ms. Cole, the first night it came out, I remember sitting at my computer, my desktop, and I'm looking at my first book, and I see the title, and I see my name, and I just stared at it for about 5 minutes or so. Not because I was admiring what I have done, but I was staring at it because I was just in total disbelief as to how it had gotten to this point. And all credit goes to God for just pushing me and saying, you can do this, you have to do it. And it was kind of surreal because I don't know how it is for other people, but when you see your name in a different capacity, which is sort of like professional or something like that, at least for me, it was kind of almost like surreal because I'm thinking, wow, this really happened. I was just in total shock. And I was so naive and so behind the scenes that I remember when I released it, my friend found out. And they were excited. They called to congratulate me. And one of my friends from my childhood said, oh, Alan, this is so cool. And I'm going to bring the book to the book signing and have you sign and get a picture. And so I got off the phone with her and I thought, why would I have a book signing? I mean, I didn't even understand why you have book signing. This is how naive I was. I had no clue. And so I said, well, I'm not going to do a book signing. And I told my sister that. That was a big mistake.
I'm pretty sure changed your mind on that one for sure.
Yeah. I still have scars from that experience. Let me just tell you that. So, but I did the book signing and then went really well. And I thought, okay, well, Lord, you haven't released one book. This is at the end of 2017. And so now I'm thinking in terms of my mindset, I'm going to start going back and start reconnecting with music to continue collaborating in that. But I'm always reminded of Jeremiah 29:11 talks about, for I know the plans I have for you. And I'm sharing that with our listeners because his plans had nothing to do with my plan. My plans were to go back to music. His plans were for me to continue to write and start preparing to do the second book, which is now In the Spirit Intended. Continue to write and continue to press forward through 2018. And then in early 2019, I was able to release the second book, In the Spirit Intended. And that one has done well. Actually, in July, about a year ago, I was able to earn the distinction of being a best-selling author on Amazon, which is just, I still just shake my head in just total disbelief. And this book has been very well received. Everybody compliments it. And Ms. Cole, I think the reason they really like it, this is just my opinion. The feedback I have heard from people with both books is the fact that in terms of the writing style, and please, everybody understand, I don't have a style. I just write what's on my heart, what the Lord places me to do, and just do it. But when I write, I try to write it just very down to earth, very easy to digest, and it causes people to just kind of think and kind of reflect and just look at things perhaps in a total broad perspective and look at things how this may affect you in life, how this is shaped and defined where you are, and how all that has tied together in terms of your Christian walk. And so when I do write, the Lord has me to write, everything is essentially just very down to earth and very easy to kind of identify with. It's just everyday things because I'm of the opinion that for times such as these, we don't necessarily need like heavy theological, deep stuff that makes your eyeballs roll in your head or anything like that. People just want stuff that's just down to earth and easy to identify with because that's what they incorporate in their life every day. At least that's been my experience in 65 years. So that's kind of a definition of my writing style in terms of what the Lord has me to do, where people can just read it and they say, okay, I get it. And maybe it causes them to think about something that happened in their life that now they say, now I know why that happened the way it did. And now I know what it means to me in this present day and age.
And we are talking to Alan T. Black. He is the author of the book, In the Spirit Intended. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. When we come back, we're going to start delving into In the Spirit Intended, we enjoy enjoyable, as well as take your questions or comments. You're welcome to call in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. After these messages, stay tuned.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Soul Show. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Alan T. Black. He is the author of the book, In the Spirit Intended. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It reads as a commentary slash devotional in a very down-to-earth, conversational way. I definitely enjoy digging into the various topics that Alan discusses, listening to his point of view, as well as being open and invited to engage with him as I read the book. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And you can also pick up his first book, Here I Am, Lord, which is also available on Amazon.com. And once again, Alan, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Really want to delve into the pages of In the Spirit Intended. And the first thing I have to ask is, what made you decide on the title?
The title, In the Spirit Intended, actually has a twofold meaning. The first part of it is in regards to everything that the Lord has me to write in terms of the content and what the reader is digesting. My hope and prayer is that everything that I'm saying hopefully is speaking to your heart and to your mind and to your spirit, and you're taking it in the spirit intended. You're digesting it internally for reflections, observations, and things such as that. The second part of the meaning, In the Spirit Intended, comes from my perspective in terms of being a regular layperson. I'm just going to say it, just an ordinary Joe. So what I'm sharing in terms of the content the Lord had me to write and what he placed on my heart to share, I don't want anybody thinking it's coming from somebody who's this great theologian, who's a bishop, who's an apostle, or anything at that level. All of this is just coming from an everyday person, and I'm doing so in the spirit intended. So I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing with you what thus said the Lord. So I'm really of the opinion, Ms. Cole, when you really get down to it, like I said earlier when we were talking, it's really about everyday living, and that's what people are trying to do. What are you going to do when you leave your place of worship? You still have to go through the next 6 days or so. And so it really just comes down to everyday living and everyday things that are going to motivate you and keep you going. So my observation, like I said, is not a theological. It's not in terms of denominational. It's just everyday stuff from a regular guy. And that's why it has a twofold meaning, if that kind of makes sense in that respect.
One of the things that you talk about in your book is how you have to be so careful to listen to the Spirit, how the Spirit talks to us. And even when you were introducing yourself and telling us about your background, you made a point of saying that you were being obedient to what the Lord told you. And so I had to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And here, for those of you who may not know the narrative, Samuel is rebuking Saul because he was very disobedient. And Samuel says in verse 22, he says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And I think your whole story behind this definitely shows why being obedient is better than sacrificing. Because if you weren't obedient, there may be people who would not be blessed by the devotionals that you do for the blog in Singapore. If you weren't obedient, what person who has read your story wouldn't be blessed by the words that you have? Another thing you may want to consider is that some people, they want to write a commentary about the Bible, but they say, I've never been to college. I don't have any seminary background. And you said the exact same thing. It's not a theological tome, not thousands of footnotes and things of that nature. It's just using what the Lord has given you to say and putting it on paper. And I think that is why it should be encouraging to those out there who want to help others understand the Word of God as they do. So with that in mind, I want to go into one of my favorite chapters here. It's toward the beginning, and it's chapter 6 called Blessed Assurance. What's fascinating about this particular chapter is that recently I was talking to my choir director at church. And with the COVID, a lot of churches were shut down for one reason or another. So what happened when churches opened back up again, there were people coming to our church now who said, oh my gosh, I didn't know churches sang hymns anymore. And you talked about how when you were a kid, you used to sing Blessed Assurance all the time, so much so that as a kid, you probably don't even hear it anymore. It's just in your head. You sing it 1,000 times. But then older, it becomes this balm of Gilead that just pours over your soul and just lifts you up and gives you the blessed assurance. So tell us what you are trying to say to those out there when we talk about blessed assurance.
When I think about blessed assurance, the way that the Lord had me to write this one, yes, I started out, of course, by talking about hearing it as a child. And I confess in this particular devotional that I heard it to the point where I just kind of tuned it out, and I just kind of felt like it was sort of like fingers running down the blackboard. And that's how I couched that particular song at that point in my life. But one thing I have come to recognize in terms of this journey with both books is that a lot of things that we have happening to us at one point in time have a way to then come back full circle, and then it reintroduces itself to you at the time and the appointed season that it needs to. And so then you begin to really have a better understanding. So now when I hear that song, it takes on a whole new meaning, because again, my background is in music with lyrics. So now I think about those lyrics from that song, and I think about the fact that with all that we are dealing with in terms of the COVID situation, and let's just put it out there, the other issues that we're dealing with in terms of the social injustice.
A lot of racial tensions going on right now.
The racial tensions and everything.
Lots of racial tensions, yeah.
There's a lot, and that's nothing new to me, having lived through it in the 60s and the early 70s. But in the midst of all that, one thing that Blessed Assurance says to me now is the world will, if we allow it to, Ms. Cole, it will turn us upside down and inside out on a daily basis, almost minute by minute. But what is the anchor that you're going to be held down by in terms of just getting up from the time in the morning until you go to bed at night? You have to have some kind of anchor that you know that's going to get you through day after day after day. And so now when I think about those things, I think about the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And there's nothing that can ever take that away from me. And so I say, okay, this is where I'm going to find my strength and my comfort, even in the times such as these, particularly in the times like these, because of the turmoil and the great uncertainty, where are you going to be anchored? Because if not, you're just going to be tossed and turned all over the place, and at some point, it's going to wind up being a wholesale disaster. So when I'm talking about that, I'm also thinking about as well that we have a blessed assurance to know that Jesus is mine and that we have that anchor there for us that's going to continue to be there with us day after day after day. And so that's really what I'm looking at when I wrote this particular one, because I know what lies ahead for me when I leave this world, as we all do as Christians who have accepted Christ as our Savior. we know what's going to be on the other side. It's just going to be beyond comprehension. It's nothing that we can imagine. And that's the hope for expectation in terms of what's going to be there when I transition at that point. But even before then, I know that whatever was going on right now, I still got that blessed assurance that I have the peace and comfort to know that, hey, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be up and down, tumultuous, that's for sure, but I'm still going to be okay. And that's how I've approached this whole pandemic situation. And like I said, the issue with the racism, I've seen this. I dealt with it. I was in the middle of it in junior high and in high school. That's a whole other story right there. But I've never let that shake me from what I know is my blessed assurance. And that's really the base of operation that I try to stay in on a daily basis. It's not going to be easy, but it's something that I'm committed to do each and every day.
When you were talking about the hymns and how they change as you get older, a couple of days ago, I was talking to my granny, and she's in a nursing home, and we can't visit her right now, so they're allowing us to do Zoom calls with her. And my granny, she'll be 90 years old, praise the Lord, in December.
Wow.
And one thing that's happening, you know, dementia is slowly creeping in. And So what I try to do is keep her in the now, and I try to jog her memory, stuff like that. But it hasn't happened quite yet. I don't make it look as if she's, you know, spiraling downward or anything like that, but it is creeping in. And I started to sing to her the hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And I hadn't sang it in a while, and we were singing it for church on Sunday. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And just the waves of emotion that came over me, it was very hard to contain. And then you start thinking what he's done for you. And then you start thinking, what has he brought you through? And then you got to thinking, what will he continue to bring you through? And that led me to your next devotional that I want to talk about, which is Footprints in the Sand. And you kind of made me laugh a little bit, because I can also attest to this. When living in the Midwest, we don't see a lot of beaches. Now, I'm in Michigan, and Michigan does have beaches, but they're pretty much further up north in the mitten part of the state, not the mitten part, above the state. And we always say up north here in Michigan. And I recently went up there for an event I had to go to, and I saw the beach. It was a small beach. It was so small, it was just tidied up by some wood blocks that bound it in. But when you look out over at the lake was vast, absolutely vast. And it was so vast, you couldn't tell where the sky began and the lake ended. That's how vast it was. A beautiful sight. And the wind was blowing and the nice fresh water scent. It was very illuminating, that whole experience. And then as I was reading your story about Footprints in the Sand, I was reminded of the poem my mom had when we were growing up that talks about footprints in the sand. And some people may not be aware of that poem, but it's a very powerful poem. And I want you to tell us a little bit about the poem itself and then what you were hoping to share with readers as they read this particular devotional.
With Footprints in the Sand, that is a very, very famous poem. And in fact, here in my kind of semi-office, I have that poster on the wall. And I think I've had this up here for years. And so that particular morning, as I was getting ready to leave to go to work, I just happened to glance over at the poster, like I have done probably thousands of times before. But Ms. Cole, that particular morning, there was just something about seeing those footprints in the sand that just really with me. And so when I got to my job that morning, I just could not get away from the image of those footprints in the sand. And so that's how I just kind of started writing, that the Lord just placed it on my heart to really just share some reflections about the poem itself and what it's meant to me. And in this particular chapter, and I can't sit here and say that, well, this was my favorite or that was my favorite. I really can't. It's kind of hard to really say which one is. But Footprints in the Sand for me was very important, because in here I'm really conveying the point that sometimes you see only one set of footprints, like the poem talks about. But what really makes the difference is the fact that you recognize there have always been at least two sets of footprints there, always. Now, whether or not you recognize it or you want to acknowledge it, that's a whole different conversation. But when you really have those hard times where you don't know if you're going to make it 1 minute to the next, and like the poem talks about, you have one set of footprints, those were the times when the Lord really carried you. And I can think about those times, and it really, really hit me hard last night in terms of, say, the Chadwick Boseman situation with him passing away from colon cancer, because it hit me hard personally because I'm a colon cancer survivor.
Amen.
So I had reached about stage two, just about into stage three, before I wound up having surgery, which was major. And my surgery was to the point where my doctor said, well, okay, he said, Alan, another 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, if you had waited, you wouldn't have lived. Okay? That's how mine was. So I'm saying that in terms of, I think back to those days during the surgery, following the surgery where I had lost, Ms. Cole, like 60 pounds. I was down to like 115 or so, and I looked like a skeleton. And so those were those dark, dark times where the only footprints in the sand were the Lord's. That's
Amen.
It. Because I didn't have the strength to take one more step, but he carried me through where eventually I was restored to full health. So when I'm talking about those type of experiences, about the footprints in the sand, my hopeful expectation, my prayer is that I want you to pause and really think about those times when there were just that one set of footprints in the sand, and that was the Lord. And you know, Psalm 23 talks about when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Those are times when those footprints are so apparent. And sometimes I think we have to look back on those things and you see where the Lord has brought you from. And I hope that everyone recognize that if he brought you through that, then God being God, he'll bring you through the next thing that you're going to have to deal with. So for me, when I talk about footprints in the sand, it's very personal in terms of the things that I've been through, serious issue with cancer, heart surgery. I think also about the fact that my sister and I survived, just by the grace of God, a serious car accident where we were hit broadside by a guy who was drunk at about 50 miles an hour. And how we got through, there was nothing but the grace of God, because he hit my car, Ms. Cole, and I spun around three times in my car and wound up like a block away from where the accident was. And I was okay. My sister suffered a broken arm, but it could have come out different. I'm just being real with you. So I think about those footprints in the sand moments in my life. And for me, it really causes me to just kind of stop. And I pause, and sometimes, this is just me speaking, sometimes I don't even have the words just to say thank you, because I just shake my head because I'm just totally blown away by what the Lord has done time and time again. And so what I would hope people get from that particular essay is to take it to your level and really think about the times when the Lord has just done some things for you that were just really beyond belief. I mean, even on a personal level, if you think about the fact, like you shared a few minutes ago, here's your grandma at 90 years old. Think about how amazing it is that she lived to be 90 years old, and how many people has she blessed in her life, including you, by just being who God called her to be. Because the footprints in the sand of her life, she was able to take and then bless others from those experiences. And that's something it's so easy to take for granted, but sometimes we just need to pause and just say, you know, Lord, you've done some things for me, man, that just caused me to shake my head and just say, wow, nobody but God. Nobody but God.
Another thing you mentioned in the book, and this is actually something I found interesting, And I'm going back toward the beginning of the book when you talk about Achilles' heel. And with Achilles' heel, I also, when I was younger, had a vivid and very ravenous fascination with Greek mythology, particularly when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten so into Greek mythology, I was reading everything I could about it. This is before the internet, of course, so I had to go to the library and do it. I would read and pick up books and see illustrations. And I love how you talk about the arrogance that some people can have because they think they're protected through things. They think they're protected. Mm-hmm. Well, I have enough money. They think they're protected. Well, I live in a safe neighborhood. They think they're protected because I don't have those type of problems other people have. But you forget that everyone has an Achilles heel. And what I found particularly interesting about that is that you were able to use a secular mythological example and still bring that biblical context to it. Because in the mythological story, Achilles, you know, he broke, you know, he got pierced in his heel. There's the end of Achilles. But thanks be to God that we may have an Achilles heel, but he's the one who is essentially protects us. But we have to remember mm-hmm. that. What were some other things that you were expanding on in that passage?
In that passage, more than anything else, like I said when I started out, Greek mythology was something I really was fascinated as well as you. Now, I go back to the dark ages where, yeah, we had to go down to the library and you had to find out the book and you could bring it back in a week. And I know the kids today think about, man, well, did you guys even have water back then? But I digress. But anyway, I mean, they do. They look out there like, did you have water? Did you have electricity? And I'm like, well, you know, we got electricity eventually. You know, we used to go out and just dig it out of the ground. I'm like, really? What do you guys think about this? It wasn't totally the dark ages, but anyway, I digress. But when I wrote this one, when the Lord had me to write it, I was thinking about how he was so arrogant, like you said, that he thought, okay, I'm all that and a bag of chips. There's nothing in the world that can touch me. And it's so easy for each of us, even in our Christian walk, let's just keep it 100, well, we can think, okay, yes, I've got the nice car, I've got the great position, I'm doing well, the church is doing well, I got great social status, so, hey, I am all that. But each of us has that weakness that the enemy is looking to exploit and take advantage of every second of every day. And if we don't believe we have that weakness, then 50% of the battle is already lost. Because to me, what's important is that we recognize what our weakness is and that we go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm coming up short in this one, so I need some help here. Because if you leave it up to me, I can promise you one thing, I'm going to mess it up over and over again. And so I kind of tie it back to the scripture, I don't know if I mentioned it here or not, but we talk about in our weakness through him, we are made strong. And we're made strong, Ms. Cole, because number one, we admit that we have a problem. I admit I have a problem in certain areas. And so I take it before the Father and I say, okay, God, this one, I can't handle this one. I'm going to need some help. Now, that's hard to do, but it's going to be necessary. I've always felt that any issue that has to be resolved or improved begins with the recognition that there needs to be something done and something done differently in order to make it what you want it to be or what God's calling it to be. So I wrote it in that context where, and a lot of things when I'm writing in here, I try to use everyday examples, but I bring it back to a scriptural basis or a Christian perspective where I hope the reader understands, well, you know what, this is really kind of true because whether I want to admit it or not, I've got an Achilles heel because, hey, maybe I like to play the football sheets or whatever in the fall and I do that too much, or maybe I'm going to the casino too much, but I don't want to admit it or whatever, and those kind of things. And so, but we have to be willing to admit that there's something there that we need the Lord to help us with on a daily basis. And I raise my hand, I stand at the front of the line and say, yeah, Lord, I need some help here because I'm a hot mess in this area. And so I'm going to need you to help me out. Because otherwise, like I said before, I'm pretty good at messing stuff up. I have a master's degree at messing stuff up. I'm just telling you. And so that's kind of the direction that I took with that one, where I want the reader to say, you know what, I do have that area, and I need to go to the Lord and seek his help because I can't do it by myself.
I love how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 12, and he says it through these verses. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. And I love that because it really underpins what you were saying about Achilles' heel, because Achilles was taking strength, his own strength. But it's when we admit that we are weak, when we admit that, then we can what? Get help from the one who makes us strong. And I think when Paul said that, he said, you know, it lets us know somewhat of Paul's frame of mind was that the Lord was blessing him through this, through what he was doing with the church. And he said, lest I get boasted, unless I exalt myself. You know, we will never know what the thorn in his side was. He does not tell us. Some people say it was medical.
True.
Some people say it was spiritual. Some people say it was somebody that was bothering him. We don't know. But whatever it was, he said, I asked the Lord to take it away from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And, you know, when you hear that, you kind of go like, it seems kind of cold. But then he just said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, because I'm not strong on my own. It's because the Lord makes me strong. And so I thought that was a particularly interesting way of bringing that about. We are at the top of our hour right now, Alan, so I want to thank you so much for joining me. I do want to ask you just a couple more quick questions before we leave. What has been the response from readers who have read In the Spirit Intended?
Most of the readers have been very complimentary because they said it's very down to earth. It's written in a style that they understand. It's a very short read. And so they like that fact more than anything else. They said it's just very down to earth and I can understand it. And they said they can relate to it. And that's what they really like as much as anything.
What are some of your next projects?
Well, I have learned after 65 years that it is about being obedient, because I am actually now at the point where I have a third book, which will come out next year. It's going to be in this same vein. I'm looking at releasing it probably maybe around May or June of next year. And so that's the next direction I'm headed with a third book, which will be sort of like a continuation of the first two books. So I'm busy getting that together and getting prepared to get the editing done and everything, hopefully late fall, early winter. And, you know, Ms. Cole, more than anything else, just trying to be obedient to what the Lord's calling me to do. And I don't know where that's going to lead me, but hey, as the song said, lead me, guide me along the way. And that's basically my attitude. I'm just going to follow, because if I follow the Lord, I'm going to be okay. I can say that for everybody. We just follow what he says. We'll be okay.
If we want to connect with you online, where can we connect with you?
On my website is alantblack.com. It's A-L-A-N, the letter T, B-L-A-C-K.com. And my social page thing? Oh, my Instagram is tblack55. That's my Instagram thing. You guys have to forgive me, because y'all got to remember, I'm 65. I'm still learning all this stuff about social media, and I'm learning. My social media manager's like, you got to learn how to do this, and I'm like, I don't want to, but I understand that you have to be coachable. You have to be obedient, and so I'm learning how to do that, so that's where they can find me in terms of my, Alan T. Black 55, that's my Instagram handle. So I'm learning. It's a learning experience. I'm Fred Flintstone in the Jetson world, but I'm trying, Ms. Cole. I'm trying.
It's okay. It's okay. Social media is a beast. So it's hard to tackle it. And the way you have to tackle it is one body part at a time. You get comfortable with one social media platform, and then if you want, move over to another one. There are people who say, well, you need to be on every single social media platform. No, you don't have to. I would pick popular ones and just learn how to work those. But not everyone is on social media either. So you're in a good place, Alan. Don't feel bad. I got to tell you, too, Alan, just in case you feel as if you may be the old guy. The oldest person I had on my show who wrote his first book was 80 years old, and that was last year.
That is cool. That is so cool.
So don't feel as if you're the oldest, because I assure you, you aren't. And I'm looking forward to that 100-year-old person coming onto my show. I don't care. You know, 130 even, you know. Well, not 130, but 120 even. So that'll be good. So, you know what, Alan, I just want you to pray for us really quickly. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute myself before we get ready to go. Well, let's pray for us that the Lord leads and guides you, okay?
Okay, you got it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of yet another day. And we do so with the recognition in our hearts that each day that you bless us with is more than what we deserve. We thank you most of all for family, for friends. And we, Lord, we know that in the midst of this pandemic and the issues of the racism, that no matter what, you're still God and you're God all by yourself. I just ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you move on the hearts of each and every one of us and teach us to be obedient and to follow what thus says the Lord in accordance to what your spirit is telling each of us to do. And as we prepare to go forward this day, lead and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, on the cross, because he didn't have to do it. But we thank you for the fact that he's willing to do so. And so we pray this afternoon that all hearts and minds are clear and prepared to go about the day and do what thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Alan, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today. And I cannot wait to have you back on the show and have you back soon.
I look forward to coming back next year with my third book. I'm very excited. Thank you again, Ms. Cole. It was definitely an honor. I'm so thrilled.
And we were talking today to Alan T. Black. He is the author of the book, In the Spirit Intended. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. What I really enjoyed about In the Spirit Intended, it's that the book is intended for you to have a conversational, down-to-earth discussion about many things that we deal with in life. And Alan really does a great job bringing that out. So I know you won't be disappointed when you pick up your copy of In the Spirit Intended and let him know what you thought about it. We don't know if we said we were going to do what we said we do if you don't tell us about that in the form of a review. So once you pick up your copy, please feel free to leave a review so you can let Alan know that his book touched you, or if you have any questions, you can reach out to him at his website, alantblack.com. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.